ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading the first verse, there's actually two, but we're just going to chant one, and then we'll read the translation for one and two, or Canto 10, Chapter 2, Texts 1 and 2. Shishuka uvacha, pralambha bhakacha nora,
pralambha bhakacha nora,
trinavarta mahashanai, mushtikarishta dvidvida, putana keshi, putana keshi denukai. We're chanting the names of demons. This is awful. What are we doing? Someone else can chant. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, under the protection of Magadharaj Jarasandha, the powerful Kamsa began persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. In this, he had the cooperation of demons like Pralanga Bhaka Chanura Trinavarta Agasara Mushtika Arishta Dvidvida Putana Keshi Denuka Banasura Narakasura and many other asuras on the surface of the earth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
This verse supports the following statement given by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 4:7-8. Yada yadarhi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. And paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sangstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Translation. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Lord's purpose in maintaining this material world is to give everyone a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But kings and political leaders unfortunately try to hinder the purpose of the Lord, and therefore the Lord appears either personally or with his plenary portions to set things right. It is therefore said, garvam sancharya rohinyam devakya yogamayaya tasya kukshim gatak krishno dvitiyo vibhukai sutaha. Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki after transferring Baladev to the womb of Rohini by the power of Yogamaya. Yadubisa Vyarudhyata. The kings of the Yadu dynasty were all devotees. But there were many powerful demons, such as Shalva, who began to persecute them. At that time, Jarasandha, who was Kamsa's father-in-law, was extremely powerful. And therefore, Kamsa took advantage of his protection and the help of the demons in persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The demons naturally appeared more powerful than the demigods. But ultimately, because of help received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demons were defeated and the demigods triumphant. In discussing this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, naturally, subject goes to yada yada hi dharmasya glani. This dharmasya glani is discrepancy of religion. When Krishna sends forth generations of men and demigods, we know from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says he also gives the means of sacrifice, yajna, by which all that is created can be reconnected to the Creator by the process of sacrifice. But when that principle of dharma, how to connect all things to their source of emanation, is violated, the human energy becomes spoiled. So let's speak about the human energy being spoiled a little bit. The human form of life, two things. Human form of life is especially meant for self-realization and God-realization. It's a very sophisticated form of life, because only in this human form of life can this self-realization and God-realization be made possible. So all the equipment is there to make it possible. But if that very special good fortune is not addressed, the human form of life, the value of the human form of life is spoiled. And when it's spoiled, that's great misfortune. When that spoiling of the human form of life goes on instead of the real purpose, great harm goes to the human form of life and all other forms of life following that. Codes of dharma are like operation instructions, like when you buy a electronic device. Say you buy an iPod or a iRiver or iTranscend or iThis or iThat, some little recording device, an electronic device. With it you get a little piece of paper that says this is how you use it. If you don't read the operating instructions, then you don't get the full advantage of what that little device does. But if you use it in some other way, then you could actually damage the device. Like, for example, if you think the iPod would be a very good way to crack open a walnut. You start, hey, it opens walnuts. Besides the good advantage of what iPod can do, you're damaging the machine. And in short order, it's finished. You don't get the good thing, and you damage the good thing. You damage the facility. So, dharma is like that. It's the operation manual for this human form of life. Here's how you use it. Don't pay attention to dharma. You lose that good advantage of the human form of life, and you bring great damage both to the individual and to other forms of life besides the human form of life. For example, the concerns of environmentalism or ecology in the world. I don't know how much you're hearing about it in South India. It's a big topic in the West. By exploiting the resources of nature, exploiting other persons, and they're sapping their valuable human energy, exploiting them, in other words. There's all kinds of crises they don't have a clue how to solve because they've gone so far astray from Dharma. The clue is within Dharma, but they don't want Dharma. They want Kama. And to get Kama, you have to have economic development. And to get economic development, Artha, they don't go to Dharma. They go to fruit of activity, enterprise, and exploitation. Huge global problem. I speak on this at universities in America. And there's just like, gives you a headache kinds of statistics about what's going on. For example, presently, we're using the resources of Earth by 1.3 times one Earth every year. There isn't more than one Earth. We're using more than one Earth every year. And as the economies of the world expand, including here in India, more than 1.3, they're estimating within 15 years, it'll be three Earths are being used every year. But there's only one Earth. So what does that mean? Fight over the resources. And then the pollution that's created by how they're using the resources. They don't know what to do with the problem. It's not recycling. It's just piling up and polluting the planet. It's a long topic. It takes an hour to do it properly. And, you know, in universities in America, they have whole courses for one semester describing Dharma Shaglani. Without turning to God, there's no solution. And that's what the students are saying. They're saying, we know all the problems. We know it up to here, we know the problems. But I don't think there's one student in this entire classroom that's going to change how they're doing things because of greed. They want more and more and more. Big problem. Dharmasya Glani is a big problem. Then on the other side, there are those who are followers of Dharma. There are persons trying to be sadhu or at least dharmic. Like, we're trying to be, at least trying to be, dharmic and sadhu. And the oppression at the time of Krishna's appearance was, it's bad now, but the oppression during Krishna's time, before Krishna came, was overwhelming. And I'm going to give you a little description of that. I'm going to describe a little bit about Kamsa and Jarasandha because it's mentioned here. In the purport it's mentioned that, I'll give you my notes because of the names. The Jarasandha was the father-in-law of Kamsa. So that when Krishna killed Kamsa, the two daughters of Jarasandha, who had married Kamsa, they went crying to their father, Daddy, Daddy, Krishna just killed our father. Get back at him. And so he tried. He took a vow. I will destroy Krishna. That was after Krishna appeared and killed Kamsa. But before even Krishna appeared, here's a little description of how Kuvalyapida came into the possession or care of Kamsa. Bali Maharaj had a son whose name was Mandagati. Mandagati was really big and powerful. And one time, he was on pilgrimage, of all places, at Rangakshetra. Yes, he went to pilgrimage in Rangakshetra, and there was crowds of people. So, he was pushing people out of the way. You know how people do that sometimes. Only he was really big and powerful. Kshatriya, just knocking people left and right. So one sage who was in that crowd and was being pushed like everybody else, he came right in front of Mandakati. His name was Tritamuni. And he shook his crooked finger at Mandakati and said, "You're behaving not at all in a proper manner when coming to a sacred place. This is a place of pilgrimage where many pilgrims have come to have peace and experience spiritual happiness. And you're behaving just like an animal, just like an elephant. I curse you. This very moment, you become an elephant." Just like that, Mandagati shed his human form and became an elephant. Such is the power of sages of previous ages. So Mandagati, there in this elephant's body, offered prayers to Tritamuni, saying, "I made a big mistake. You are so powerful that I've offended you, and now please at least tell me when it will be possible for me to regain my human form of life. When will this curse expire? Please forgive me for my brutishness." And Tritamuni said, "You've pleased me very much by your humble behavior, and now I'll give you a benediction. The benediction is, when Krishna appears in Mathura, later when he returns to Mathura after being away for some time, he will deliver you from this curse by killing you. This is my benediction." So, Mandakati, just like one gives up his clothes and puts on another set of clothes, became Upayapita. And he went off into the jungle. Because Kuvalyapita was so powerful, the big demoniac kings, they wanted very much to possess this powerful animal. So Jarasandha went with his entire army and 100,000, 1 lakh of elephants to capture Kuvalyapita, and he captured Kuvalyapita. And he was then moving from camp to camp because his place was in Magadha, and Magadha is today's, Bihar. So he was working his way along the Jamuna back to his home, when suddenly Kuvalyapita broke away from the chain that had captured him and ran towards the mountain region. It just so happened that Kamsa was beating up and destroying villages and cities and fighting very powerfully. And Kuvalyapita came right into the camp where Kamsa was staying. Kamsa was fearless. He grabbed Kuvalyapita by the trunk and threw him to the ground. Then he picked him up again and twirled him around and threw him 80 miles in the air. And he came crashing down at Jarasandha's camp. Jarasandha was really impressed. So he went to find out who has thrown this big elephant. He found Kamsa. And he just embraced Kamsa and said, You are amazing. I have never seen a person with strength like you. I want to give you as a gift. Here's Kuvalyapida, and here's my two daughters. You may marry them. So in this way, there was an alliance between Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, and Magadha king. These two daughters, Asti and Prapti, became the wives of Kamsa. In this way, not only Kuvalyapida and Jarasandha became allied or aligned with Kamsa, but so many other kings, because Kamsa was so powerful. Kamsa came and approached people and challenged them, other kings. I will destroy you, or you surrender unto me and you assist me in my program. And some fought and were killed. Some surrendered and became his allies. So what's being described in this verse is he had so many powerful kings who were at his beck and call. He would simply request them to do some assistance, much like Ravan, Kamsa, very, very powerful, and they would do his bidding. And he felt especially strong because his father-in-law, Jarasandha, was also very powerful, and because of being his father-in-law, he promised he would protect him. And so together, Kamsa and his friends, his associates in demoniac spirit, were tormenting and giving unlimited trouble to the kings of the Yadu dynasty. This tension between the Suras and the Asuras is always there. It's here today, and it was there in such a great fashion during the just before Krishna's appearance. These were the circumstances inviting Krishna to come and dismiss the demoniac kings. When Vasudev was on the chariot with his new wife Devaki, and Devaki's six sisters also had become Vasudev's wife, and they were going to their home after the wedding, to Vasudev's home. The voice from the sky came saying, Kamsa, you are such a fool! The eighth child of Devaki will kill you! Immediately when Kamsa drew his sword, Vasudev knew there's no way he could overpower Kamsa. He was only buying time. So he promised to give the children and various other things, he said. When demoniac kings become so powerful, just like the world situation today. They're not kings. They're so-called elected people. And the violence that they can create on innocent people is just horrendous. What can stop that force of violence, of misuse of power, this dharma shaglani? Except Krishna. Therefore, yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tridatmanam sarajamyaham. What about today? Prabhupada's explanation is, Krishna is already present in this age of Kali. This is Kali, where there's so much discrepancy in religion. So, Krishna has come in the form of his holy name. Our acharyas describe like that. The the holy name of Krishna is the form, nama rup, where we can take shelter and seek protection from the demoniac influence. So, therefore, it is the yuga dharma to propagate the chanting of the holy name of the Lord so that those who are sadhu, pritranaya sadhunam, they can get their protection and deliverance from the hands of the asuras. It's 6:45. I'm going to allow a little time for some questions since there hasn't been much time up till now. Any questions?
How the asuras can be punished in Kali Yuga?
How are the asuras to be punished in Kali Yuga? Just like Krishna describes, somebody, you're going to ask, say the question in Telugu. The same way they're punished at other times. Krishna, we discussed this yesterday. When Krishna appeared, he didn't directly, some demons he fought, but many demons, he just arranged for the demons to fight the demons, and they killed each other. So that's how they can be removed, but their punishment comes also in the form of the threefold miseries of material existence. Adi Atmaka Klesha, Adi Daivaka Klesha, Adi Bhautika Klesha. So many irregularities of too much rain, not enough rain, tsunami, cyclone, wars, so on. Just the onslaught of the reaction of their misdeeds comes by Krishna's arrangement. Then they dismiss one another. At the same time in Kali Yuga, those who are in the innocent category, they can be brought to the position of safety in the shelter of the holy name. Anything else? There are people that have no fear of God. They don't fear law and they don't fear God. They take law into their own hands and they're God themselves. When we're surrounded by that kind of people, you got it?
One question. What is the question? What is the question in that? Question is that all are demonic people, they are surrounded by the same demonic people.
Demons and demons, and faithless, and lawless, and...
Yeah. And how they become, how they to be punished? Because they are surrounded by
the same... He asked the same question, I guess, same answer. Same question, more elaborate, but same question. Yeah. Oh, yes. Krishna sometimes gives a lot of strength, even equal strength to the demons. And devotees get equal strength to fight with the powerful demons. It's very small. They're very many. And very strong. Oh, they've got control of the whole place. They've got control of government. They've got control of education. They've got control of the economy. And they don't like other kinds of control taking over. Big time. And therefore, it's not psychological, it's spiritual. Spiritual. So, it's called Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Through, Prabhupada used the metaphor of, just as you do here, sending our soldiers out with their ammunition, their Krishna bombs, in the form of books. And those books explode and change people's lives. That was a major part of answering this question. And Harinam Sankirtan, public Harinam Sankirtan, of course, in the temple for persons who are more pious and want to come and see the deity and hear the message of the scripture. They also need that elevation and purification. But the overall Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission in its various forms. You know, the prasadam distribution program, the book distribution program, the Harinam distribution program, the teaching of classes and seminars and giving the message. Prabhupada considered this to be like our camp, like the military base. And from the military base, our soldiers go out and fight the battle with Maya or demoniac influences. Some persons are deeply entrenched. They escape. But it's our response to the condition. Rather than just being feeling victims of the condition, we're fighting. In a way that our great commander-in-chief, Srila Prabhupada, has given us to do. Is that all right? You have another answer? Well, it's, power is purity. Power is not just, you know, we're strong and we'll fight you. Power is purity. Power is purity. Just like, you can have an interesting time translating this, but just like in America, one example is, there's a fight in the courtroom over whether intelligent design can be in science textbooks or not. So this is a fight over the minds of children. Because in America, textbooks in science can only teach atheism, can only teach mechanistic science, which says there's two things. There's matter and there's chance. With matter, there's laws of nature combined with chance, and that determines everything. And there's not a third thing. And there's fights. I mean, physical fights, people lose their jobs, there's fights in the courtroom, there's like 30, you know, America's a crazy place, but that's what they do. There's this side against that side, and they take it into the courtroom and spend lots of money and say, we want to have, they don't even say God, but intelligent design, some alternative to an atheism in our textbooks. Because here's all the scientific evidence that says it's a good, logical, scientifically strong proposal. And they're really fighting. There's a popular movie called Expelled. Expelled. Where one man is on a campaign describing how people summarily lose their jobs if they even think and publish something. One man in the Smithsonian Institute lost his job because he published something where a mathematician showed why, just like Sariputta has done, you know, mathematically it's not possible to get a mitochondria cell by process of evolution. Mathematically, it's not possible. Man lost his job. Because you just don't, you know, the intellectuals have such a strong hold on atheism. It's a fight. It's a fight. But our fight is through our message and through purity. Disseminating the message and explaining it in a very strong way, very pure way, and encountering the demons and presenting it with clarity.
Thank you very much. I have to go. Plane is going to take off.
Isolina Prabhupada Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nityaya Gaur Premanande.